This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two here on WEEI Afternoons. Building up towards the biggest game in Drake May's life.
Because it's the next one, Fitzy. That's how it always is.
That's what we're told. I'm not buying that. When he told us that a couple Mondays ago, I did not put much stock in that.
So theoretically speaking, and we're getting your calls momentarily, if they lose on Sunday, so the season's over, will the biggest game of his life be the preseason opener next August? Is that because the next game he's going to play in?
Yep. Or maybe it's the in-stadium game.
Oh, the season ticket holder game. That's what it could be. 617-779-7937. Lines are loaded. Let's go to Jack in Plymouth. What's up, Jack?
Hello, guys.
Hello.
I love the show.
Thank you.
Oh, I love the show. Captain Andy and Fitzy, I've been a fan of yours for about 15 years back to the days when it was like,
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Jack. What's up, man?
Everybody thinks you slept away your way to the top. That's just not true.
No, it isn't.
Anyway, so anyway, I came up with a new Patriots tradition or whatever, a ritual for the fourth quarter where after the obvious halftime feast, in the fourth quarter, we have treats, which are ring-dings, funny bones, yodels, and devil dogs, because they're
Drake's cakes.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jack. Anyway, not going to lie to you, Jack. I now see why you're a big fan of Fitzy. I see the alignments there.
Come on. Cheap shots. Cheap shots.
The old Drake's Cakes jokes.
Yeah, and, the old fun. I had not heard a good Funny Bones reference in a while.
Nope. And
that'll probably be
still
the last,
waiting.
Probably be the last Ring Dings reference we'll have on this show for a while.
Let's see if we let's go to New Hampshire, the great state of New Hampshire.
We've set the bar at a certain spot, so that therefore other
on
calls,
the floor.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's low.
All right. Let's go to Tyler in New Hampshire. What's
Thank
up, Tyler?
You, Jack.
Hey, guys, how you doing? First off, I don't think that was a fair shot at Fitzy. Fitzy, there's nothing wrong with you, okay?
well, how much time do you have, Tyler? But I appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
So I just got to say, I love what has happened with this team from the beginning of this this past offseason up until this point. Honestly, this is a hot take. I think this is one of the best decisions that this organization was ever made by bringing Mike Vrabel in as head coach. He fires his guys up, but he always, it seems like he has an approach of don't underestimate any opponent, regardless of the schedule and what the statistics might show. He knows how to fire his guys up. He comes from a championship, knows what it takes to win. He's just a really good motivator for this team, and I think him and Josh McDaniels both are great for this team. And I wouldn't be surprised if they make a Super Bowl run this year.
Thanks for the call, Tyler. I wouldn't be surprised either.
How about that?
Super Bowl run is in the cards. They are one of the best teams, if not the best all-around team, Manti Te'o, in the American Football Conference. I had this discussion with some Ted Johnson in the house.
What's
How we doing,
guys?
Ted?
How we doing?
Hello, Ted.
It hit me just now.
Uh-oh.
Why, you talk about people that reference Mike Vrabel being there before and knows what it's like to be a champion. Mm-hmm. Is there ever been a more decorated player to be a head coach in the NFL?
Good question. Probably.
Mike Singletary.
But he only won one Super Bowl.
Right.
And he was a Hall of Famer.
I mean, but I'm talking about one Super Bowls.
Yeah,
Vrabel's the most decorated.
Did any of
the Steelers?
Was Herm Edwards sneaky on one of those Steelers teams?
No, he was an Eagles guy.
Okay,
Jack Del Rio. No,
he didn't.
No,
win that,
there's been former head coaches.
It would kind of have
players
to,
have been head coaches.
It would have to be like a Steeler, a Redskin, a San Francisco 40. Any of the 49ers?
No. Bill Walsh and Mooch. No.
I don't think I heard about Tom Rathman. Coaching.
No. So you might be right. If he can win a Super Bowl, he's going to be a very unique guy.
The overall point of bringing that up is just he knows exactly what it takes because he's been on several great teams, but championship teams. So him, more than any other coach out there, is going to know what a championship team looks like.
And he referenced that early. Remember when he, the whole interesting but important thing, and people asked about the banners and how important is it that you played here? And he said, well, it's interesting. And he said, but it does give us a blueprint. Of what we that those banners give us a blueprint of what we want to do and where we want
to
go.
It's I think he's trying to create the team. It was completely different stylistically, the how the head coach handled us,
right,
versus how Mike's handling the players now. But as far as the camaraderie and how we all felt about each other in the locker room was very similar to those early championship teams that he was a part of with the Patriots.
And some of the tenets are the same because they're the same for a lot of coaches, right? The next game's the most important game, one game at a time. Like some of those things that a lot of good coaches try to instill, he has. He just delivers it and executes it in a very modern, different way that is genuine to him. So, yeah, absolutely. But I hadn't thought about that. I do think he's the most decorated player who's now a coach with a chance to, you know, win a Super Bowl and do something really special.
Interesting. I had never considered that.
Yeah. No, it's...
How about that?
How about that? 617-779-7937. Let's go to... Oh, this is a negative one, but, you know, we take all callers.
Am I missing something? What time is it?
We're banging out some phone calls before we get to the stances. Right.
Hey,
what's up, Matt?
I just want you guys, can you please pump the brakes, check the fluid, please, please, please. Listen, the season starts now. He hasn't even played one playoff game yet in his career. Oh, my goodness. Listen, I hate to sound like a negative Nelly here, but listen, if they double team, if they do like an over-under on Diggs, who are they going to throw the ball to?
Thanks for the call, Matt. I would argue Booty, Kyle Williams, DeMario Douglas, Hunter Henry, Ramondre Stevenson, the same people he's been throwing the ball to all year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's how this team is built. And if you were listening about 15 minutes ago, that's what Kayshawn Booty was talking about in his Player Tribune article.
Mm-hmm. Look at some of the games in which Steph Diggs was not a factor. They still won.
Right.
Was there a run of games where he had just two or three catches before his surge?
Jets game. Yeah. After that Jets game where he had over 100 yards, he went...
I think he went 2-3-2.
Yeah.
So I actually
hope still won those games.
The Chargers put a lot of emphasis in Diggs because I personally don't think he's good enough to warrant that. And if you do that, other things are open.
And just to the callers, a lot of teams do double team Steph Diggs, and they anticipate that, so they have answers everywhere else.
Yep. And Drake is willing to spread the wealth, and Josh is willing to spread the wealth.
Ends and backs. I'll say it again. Ends and backs.
That's why I think they're so good. So let's squeeze in one more phone call before
Efton Chisholm too in the middle of the field. I like that.
Oh, you're an Efton Chisholm guy.
Middle of the field. I don't know. Did you see him again? That's Jets. That little catch and run yet?
Yeah, no, I saw
Jets and the Chargers. Those defenses.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go. We got a lot of Matts calling in today. Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
Ted, were you on the practice field when Grable wore, like, didn't he wear, like, a Lawrence Taylor jersey or something? Because Belichick was always talking about
I wasn't, and I'm mad that I wasn't, unfortunately, Matt, for that one. That was after I retired, I guess.
Oh, hilarious. But, so the Chargers' offense hasn't been that great of late. Obviously, the quarterback's dealing with injuries. I'm just saying, Ladd McConkey, this is not going to be like the last time he came to Foxborough. Anything you want, Ladd. Any catch you want, Ladd. Want two touchdowns, Ladd. Sorry we didn't draft you, Ladd. This is going to be hopefully a lot different. I hope to see him play a little bit more man-to-man. Help over the top on him. There's not really a whole lot else. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to figure out why the spread's only 3.5.
Thanks for the call, Matt.
That's a good... Good observation there, Matt. Because
Ladd McConkey's not been as good this year as last
year. Matt came into the Patriots' house and, I don't want to say slept in the bed of the Patriots, but basically ate all the food.
He was like about 9 for $1.30 and 2 tutties.
He was
last year.
Insane. They had no answer for him. And they did play zone against him a lot, and they torched him.
They didn't have much on the back end at that point last year either.
No, that's fair.
Marcus Jones, I believe, was out. Gonzo was still in there, but... Wasn't much, and the safeties weren't the same. I think coaching makes a big difference, too.
You think coaching?
Yeah,
think
it does. So. Speaking to Matt's point, though, real quick, guys, on why is the spread only 3.5? This from our friends at Lock and Cash Sports Betting Guide. Justin Herbert has been an underdog of 3.5 points or higher 15 times in his career. His record against the spread, 13-2. And with Harbaugh as his coach, 3-0.
Okay. And the spread is 3.5 or 3? Where are we at
three
right
and
now?
Half.
Oh, 3.5. I'm fine. So Patriots win by 3, and he gets his nice little streak against the spread. Yeah. He can go home and say, I'm awesome against the spread, and Drake May can play a playoff game the following week. So everybody can be happy. Dan Ball, it's time for the three-point stance. Stiz, it's time for the three-point stance. The space bar back there, buddy.
319!
Just count to three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. It's good!
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
Got tip scores! Ties it 3-3!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. Three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. We will adhere to the actual 60 seconds on the clock today because we got to get to Tommy Curran in about 15 minutes. So, Andy Hart, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds and not a second more.
Let's do it!
Opening stance, and he's ready, so you get 60 seconds. Go ahead.
I think there is one man who faces more pressure than anybody in all of sports right now, and he plays for the Buffalo Bills. His name is Josh Allen. We had a caller earlier call him a loser, that he's a loser and he'll lose again in Jacksonville this weekend. The road is paved to the Super Bowl. We all know the story. No Mahomes, no Burrow, no Lamar Jackson, no problem for Josh Allen. You need to cruise to the Super Bowl, except, as Adam Schefter told us, your team hasn't won a road playoff game since 1992. I don't care. People are going to start to really, really come down on Josh Allen if he doesn't make a run. At least get to the AFC Championship game. But more realistically, get to the Super Bowl. You lose it, good teams in the NFC, that could be your problem. But Josh Allen, I believe right now, faces more pressure than anyone in all of sports. He's supposed to be the best quarterback in the NFL. He's the reigning MVP. Everybody loves him, and there's nobody who's supposed to be better than him on the opposing sideline when he plays these playoff games. I don't want excuses. No excuses, Josh Allen. If you want to avoid more people calling you a loser, it's very simple. End the postseason as a winner. I don't even need the full time.
Interesting. I like it. I like it. I would say Sean McDermott has more pressure because he's going to be fired if they possibly don't win.
But the difference
is... That's
what
Schefter told us yesterday.
Yeah.
You care a lot about legacy, right? We've talked about Super Bowls and different issues with legacy.
I think it's big.
I think a lot of people, even if Sean McDermott wins the Super Bowl, will be like, well, Josh Allen carried your ass to a Super Bowl. You're not that good a coach. If Josh Allen wins the Super Bowl, then he really does align himself with John Elway. And he's got the Super Bowl ring and the MVP and the wow talent. So I think it's Josh Allen who can become an all-time great. Just has to win the Super Bowl.
That's interesting. So when did John Elway win his first? How many years do you think he was in the league? So
that would
83?
Be 15.
15 years before he?
Yeah.
So Josh is in his eighth year.
Yep.
But he's of five of his last 8 years, he's not had any competition in the AFC East, so that's something to consider.
And wasted it.
First team to ever win five division titles and not make a Super Bowl, Ted. Consecutively.
But do you, did he waste it or did McDermott screw the pooch or has that defense been bad?
But be good enough to overcome it.
I hear you. A couple of other quarterbacks. Who were some of the other greats? Aaron Rodgers. How long did it take him to win his first one?
He was in the league for eight years.
So, I mean, this is, theoretically, you should have maybe expected a Super Bowl win from the greatest quarterback, who's considered the greatest quarterback in the league right now.
And he's 29. He's going up against guys like Bo Nix and Drake May and guys Trevor Lawrence, who haven't really been there or done that.
I see, yeah.
With Elway is it's 2025, and we have First Take every morning and Fox this, and there's more media that are going to come down. Like, the pressure is going to build. Bigger stories.
The take machine will get the best of you. He needs a new coach. I hate to say it, Andy, I'm with Bill Barnwell. Not with, but Bill Barnwell today on ESPN.com from his mother's basement. Bill Barnwell is a great writer, outlines how the Bills could make the Super Bowl, actually. I think he thinks that they're going to. I think that in a lot of ways, the best thing that could happen for Josh Allen is that Sean McDermott, I don't want them to lose Sunday because they're fun to watch, but if they do, he gets fired. Sean McDermott gets fired, that could be the best thing that would happen for Josh Allen.
Well, maybe. We'll see
what the argument could be made.
Now, if I'm Harbaugh, I'd be interested in that job. Yeah. I know everybody thinks Miami's in play, but if I'm Harbaugh, I'll go from one MVP to the other. I'll leave Lamar and go to Josh.
Does he fit the profile of what you need? I think the Buffalo Bills would go offensive-minded coach.
I would think.
Chris Shula.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, on we go. Nick Fitzy Stevens, are you ready?
I am. Let's party.
Let's party in 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, it's time for your frustrated Fenway fanboy update on the offseason of the Boston Red Sox. Can anyone name for me the only remaining team of all 30 in MLB to have not spent any money this offseason and sign a free agent?
That's our Sox?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Red Sox. The Colorado Rockies have even now gone out and got a free agent. It's a middling pitcher that they spent like $8 million on. I don't know his name. That's not really relevant right here. Yes, they've made trades. Yes, they've made moves for pitchers. Yes, they tried to shore things up with, I believe, Wilson Contreras over at first base, who's older than the guy that we all wanted, Pete Alonso. Fine, we digress. I'm just curious. I'd like to ask out loud, what are they waiting for? What are they doing? Why is Alex Bregman, if this six-year, $171.5 million deal is to actually come to be, make it happen? You know, are you afraid that the headlines are being stolen by the Boston Celtics, who have been playing better than not, except for last night getting outscored by the bench of Denver Nuggets? That's not important right now. The Patriots, I feels like the fifth time I've asked this question in the past month. Red Sox, what are you doing?
Let me cook, bro.
They're prepping for a lockout. That's what they're doing.
They're going to be smarter than everybody else a year from now when they have a lockout, and they can just show everybody, look at us financially, the position we're in, a year after the lockout, we'll be ready to go, you know. So basically, I feel like it's something like that. I bet you they think they just know how the landscape's going to, they're trying to anticipate it, they think they know what it's going to look like, and so they're going to be the best position team to handle it right out of the lockout.
So basically what they're telling the team that they have in place now, with the veterans on the shorter-term deals and rookies and young guys galore, is, okay, it's on you guys. Crochet, be better than last year when you were a Cy Young candidate.
But, hey, you know what? They're also going to probably sell a little bit of this. You know, Roman Anthony's going to be from the very beginning. He's coming back healthy and strong. Mm-hmm. He'll be there from day one.
How are they going to position Duran? How are they going to position Rafaela, who's as hot and cold as any player in baseball? How are all these guys? What are they going to do? What are they going to do in the
second base?
Do we have a second baseman?
We have a second baseman.
I'm sure you have a bunch of potential second basemen. I don't know which one they will choose and if he'll be good at the job. Mm-hmm. Christian Campbell, don't forget about him. He's a second baseman.
Oh, your favorite Red Sox?
Yeah, not really. But, Ted, you just said so they're prepping for the lockout.
Correct.
Am I supposed to think about that when I go to Fenway Park on a Friday night this summer and be like, this game kind of stinks, but after the lockout, they're going to be really ready to be a good baseball team again?
They don't care as much about what you think anymore. I don't know if you haven't figured that one out.
I have.
But they get off. They love it. And the Patriots were this way. When they go to those MIT meetings every year that they have, these analytics, they can sit there and flex to all the other nerds in that big nerd fest that they have there and basically show everybody that they had it figured out when no one else.
And that's what they all want to do.
Than ever. How are there 29 other boobs running baseball
clubs? Happens all the time. It's like Billy Bean, right? Moneyball. It's market. What do they say? Market inefficiencies is what they look for. Yeah. So everybody else is looking left. You should look right because that's where the good stuff is, right? That's where the value proposition
is. It's amazing how that movie, it was on the other night, I was watching it. They're just looking at spreadsheets. They'd never see the guy ever swinging the bat.
Just numbers.
It's just the numbers tell them who to get.
That's your Dan Ball Modern Sports. Go ahead, Dan Ball.
Nah, even this makes me sad, and I am the quant on the show, but I will put a pin in that one for now. Ted Johnson, are you ready?
I'm ready, bud.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, so just this time of year, it made me start thinking, you know, we're almost to the end here, hopefully not for a little while, but, you know, close to it, and I was thinking about some of the decisions that Vrabel and his staff made at the beginning of the season that we all questioned, and how did those decisions turn out now? So let's just go down the line. We all kind of maybe questioned Jabril Peppers, Kyle Duggar, moving on out. How'd that turn out? Jalen Hawkins, Craig Woodson, I think have done a fine job. I think probably gave them exactly what they wanted. Even though Craig Woodson at times and Jalen Hawkins at times in the red zone can be a little iffy, but. Still an upgrade is my guess that they feel overall. Benching Ramondre Stevens because of all his fumbles. What is he doing? Why aren't he holding these guys accountable? He's arguably the best running back in the NFL right now in the last four or five games. So that turned out to be a good decision. Keeping Borgalis over Johnny Parker Romo. Borgalis, 84% on his field goals, 27-32. And Johnny Parker Romo was only played in seven games, is 11-14 at 78.6. That was a good decision. Vrabel and Wolf, how was that partnership going to work? Pretty damn good. The handling of Steph Diggs with the pink powder. How did that work out? Pretty good. So a lot of these decisions that we questioned early in the season turned out to be the right decisions.
Absolutely. Vrabel right, us wrong. Because we questioned
pretty damn good year.
Every one of these. And I don't know, you know, the Dan's take on the Bruins that it's leveling out. That's why they're struggling. I hope Mike Vrabel doesn't level out with his decisions. I hope he doesn't go like 100% this year and then we give him the benefit of the doubt and then some of the decisions in the future just to average out go the other way. Because he's Midas. I keep saying it's Midas touch. And we definitely disagreed. I feel like the strongest one we disagreed with was Jabril Peppers. When he let go of Jabril Peppers and
former
everybody's
captain.
Like, former captain, and you're like, he's got to be one of your top 20 players, never mind top 53 players. How can he not help your team be better? That makes no sense. What are you thinking?
To go, another player just popped in my head. David Andrews, really? This is guys, you know, still had a little gas left in the tank. He was a captain. It turned out, you know, Garrett Bradbury was more than able to fill his shoes, so... the decisions he's made that we questioned early in the season turns out that we were wrong and he was right.
And the Andrew,
those are the ones I'm guessing there's more.
The Andrews one, not just on the field, Bradbury's been good, but the culture. So a captain, you let go of a captain. Yep. We're changing the culture of captains, and you get everybody saying this culture is as good as they've ever seen. It's more fun than they've ever had.
If we're being honest, the old system and the way guys, you know, coaches ran it was that they put it all on the players. Mike is very, very just pretty much hands on. In creating a culture, and then the players pick up where he's kind of, you know, leaves it, right? You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for our three-point stances today. Up next, we have Tom E. Curran. On Tuesday, I heard him tell Jones and Keefe that Drake May is going to win the MVP. We'll see if he still feels that way, and if he does, we'll find out why he believes Drake May will actually win the MVP. Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, that's up next here on W.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
WEEI Afternoons. Back here on WEEI Afternoons on a Thursday afternoon. That not only means we're getting much closer to Sunday night massive playoff game at Gillette Stadium, also means we're going to talk to our buddy Tom E. Curran from NBC Sports Boston. Tom Curran is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive, by Shaw's and Star Market, proud to be local since 1860. And Tom E. Curran is powered by Verizon. Tom Curran, how are we doing?
I am tremendous, top of the world, really excited. Everything's great.
Happy New Year on the 8th of January. I think that's still okay. Happy holidays,
last
all
day.
That.
The last day.
Oh, okay.
The last day.
I snuck it in.
Oh, this is it? Today's the last day?
Yes.
Yep. A week out.
Buzzer beater right there. Nice job by me. Okay, Tom, so as I always do on Tuesdays when I'm driving in, I believe at 12, I listen to Tom Curran on the Jones and Keefe show. And I was very interested that you said, because everybody's been debating, I know you've heard lots of it, Drake May, Matthew Stafford, MVP. It's actually seemingly gotten a little personal. Guys like Andrew Whitworth are getting a little salty on social media.
Well, all of Stafford's friends are having Zach. You know?
It has. Yeah. But Tom, I heard you say not only do you think Drake May deserves it, but you think Drake May will win the MVP. You said that Tuesday. So I want to ask you, do you still feel that way? Votes have been cast. All the ballots are in. Do you still feel that way? And what leads you to feel that way?
I do, having been a voter for a long time, that I think that I always spent a lot of time in trying to determine the right decision. And there are times, no doubt, where all of us, I think, reverse engineer outcomes that we can make a case for. Like last year, I felt like Josh Allen was a more valuable player, and I voted for him for MVP. and I voted for Lamar Jackson as Offensive Player of the Year because of his statistics. But I used value as the meaning as it's supposed to be laid out. Touchdown passes don't have inherent value. Improvement of your team has inherent value. And I do think that enough of the voters are going to realize that value is what matters. And people like Bill Barnwell or Mike Sando or individuals who do a lot of analytics and show, you know, expected points over average or completion percentage over average, those kinds of things that if you're doing that job of voting, which is kind of time consuming, you should be doing all of that, not just checking the names you know or the guys you like or the guy who you made money from when you covered a spread.
Tom, relax. Let me interrupt real quick,
relax,
though.
Relax.
Is there a specific criteria? Like, is there a sheet of rules or like this is what you're supposed to consider?
No. The only rule we were ever given was last year. They said no more giving out comeback player of the year to guys who are coming back from sucking. But tough crap, we can do that.
Right. Someone's fired up for Sunday.
Hey, let's just get lay off the caffeine, you three. It's not a day. It's not that big a deal. Anyway, sorry.
So, Tommy, we were having a little discussion here on the old program earlier about the people that will be most important for New England not named Drake May on Sunday. If you were to, I don't know, pick one or two, be they people that prowl the sidelines, man the defensive backfield, or try to run or catch touchdowns, who would those people be for you?
First off, Robert Spillane and Milton Williams would be really close to the top, because if you can bottle up O'Marrion Hampton and Vidal, then you're going to be on your way to putting Justin Herbert into long-distance situations, or at least put difficult situations. If you can bring them down and make them punt, then that's great. They actually have a horrendous punter, too. So I would say those two are really important. I think Marcus Jones and Ladd McConkey is a great matchup to pay attention to. Zach Kerr and Mike Vrabel against Greg Roman and figuring out when they want to add pressure in to their blitzes, I think is very important. And then I look at what's the most difficult defense the Patriots have faced all year. I think that was probably Cleveland. Mm-hmm. May took six sacks, but he did a great job taking care of the ball. And I still think he went 18 for 24 for like 252, another efficient game, three touchdowns. They did pull away late. And some of it was Dylan Gabriel aided, but they played a really smart game. And I think that, you know, McDaniels against that defense, any zone defense, is a complete and utter mismatch.
Hey, Tom, I'm curious what you think about Jim Harbaugh, just his reentry back into the NFL. What, you know, what your thoughts on him as a coach in the NFL? And I don't know if you heard any sound from his presser the other day when he was asked questions about what he thought about the Patriots. It was just an odd – we'll give you a little sampling. He was asked a lot of questions. This was his response.
I don't know if I have the answer to that.
I don't know if I have the answer to that. What do you think of Jim as the coach right now, and how much stock do you put in him being on their sideline, being an advantage for him?
He is just an odd guy, and I don't think that he is – and Felger had wondered this the other night on BST – whether or not he's losing it. I'm like, no, he's just weird. He just, if he wants to put off a question, that's the way in which he does it. If you want to see one of the all-time great videos, you guys might already know this, find the Jameis Winston, Jim Harbaugh dummy interview to prepare Jameis Winston for the draft. Have you ever seen it or heard of it?
Mm-mm.
Please Google it, because at one point he looks at him and he goes, "So what's all this about this stuff that you said? You're sex fiend? You're pervert?" He just like looks at him and he puts his face on, and it was a dummy interview for the combine. But he's just an odd guy. You know, he really is.
Is he a good coach?
You know, I think he operates on a different plane.
Is he a good coach?
He's a good coach. He's an excellent coach. He gets people to buy in.
Yeah.
They sing for "He's a Jolly Good Fellow" after the game in the locker room, and everybody sings it. Everybody sings it.
So
there's buy-in if they're all singing then. That's buy-in.
I hate it, but I love that. That's so funny.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, here on WEEI Afternoons. So, Tom, we talk about maybe Drake May wins the MVP, but one thing he hasn't done yet is play in a postseason game. Got an interesting matchup of quarterbacks here. You got a guy that May's been compared to that's actually struggled a little bit early in his playoff career. How ready do you think Drake May is for Sunday night? Do you have any concerns that the spot might be too much for him or might hinder his performance?
I think he'll be in a position, Andy, at some point during the game where he does something that he says, nah, that was a bad idea. Will that be because of he tried to do too much? Will he not do something because he's trying to be too cautious? I think he's just wired really well. He doesn't get all in his feels about things. He doesn't seem to play with fear. He plays with it seems to me, an acknowledgement of that was a mistake, but I'm pretty good. I won't do it again because I understand it was a mistake, and I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, I hope I don't do that again. So I think that I'm confident he's going to make mistakes. I'm also confident that he's not going to look like Mac Jones on the sideline after he does, like you need to go over and give him a rattle or a hug. He's fine. So I think that's a huge attribute to any quarterback. And it's one of the things that I thought was one of his greatest attributes coming out was his mental and physical toughness.
Tom, did you get a chance to take a gander at that Players Tribune piece that Kayshawn Boutte and possibly somebody else authored? What'd you think about that? And just what a remarkable turnaround from guy who didn't get his feet in bounds in his first game against the Eagles under Belichick a few years ago to now deep threat turnaround and possibly a long-term fixture for Drake May at wide receiver.
Yeah, I breezed through it. It was very interesting. I've liked him the whole time he's been here. I've liked him since he was a rookie. I've enjoyed talking to him. I thought that's a tremendous case study in why things needed to change in this organization. When a guy makes a tiny mistake at the end of a game and you put him in exile, same way that happened with DeMario Douglas. You know, if you're not tapping into those talents, you're just going to say, well, okay, well, he's just a draft pick. Get him out of here. We don't need him. And you can only do that for so long without the organization paying huge, huge, huge prices. So I've always liked him. I think that he is unbelievably skilled. I've talked before to you guys about his body control, about his hands. We've all now seen his physical strength at the catch point to be a fairly normal sized guy and do that. I do wonder, and he spoke about it in the Players Tribune article, and I've had a pretty good relationship with him. He wants to be a star. I think he has the ability to be a star or a guy who can balls or 80 balls for even more yards. Will he be that here? Will he be psyched? Just think, he caught 14 balls for over 300 yards in a competitive game at Ole Miss when he was a freshman. Yeah. Excuse me, at LSU, mm-hmm. against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
He's unbelievably talented. So I don't know how long. I think a lot of players are going to have that question. So bottom line is, I breeze through the story. I think it's a great message. I love Kayshawn Boutte. I think he's extremely talented. I still think he's underutilized. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, forever and ever here, because if I was him, I'd want to be a featured guy someplace.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, he was not afraid to kind of call out some of their calls and play game plans from last year, I remember. I was like, damn, the confidence. He's got a lot of confidence in that guy for sure. But good, great story. But let me ask you this. Just finish this sentence simply. If the Patriots lose this game, why?
Tom?
Something went terribly wrong.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
We have to have a moment to think.
Yeah. Give him a chance, guys.
I could have gone, that would have filled the space. Something went terribly wrong. They didn't get overwhelmed by talent. They didn't get beaten by a superior team. They did things to demolish their own ability to win the game. The Chargers might be the worst team in the playoff field when it comes down to really looking at their results and the way in which they arrived at them when you look at all the analytics. Them and the Panthers are down there. The Steelers are even a little bit better in some of the ones that I like to look at. So something went terribly wrong, and it was probably Justin Herbert's not going to Justin Herbert you the way Josh Allen can Josh Allen you.
He's too loose with the ball. Drake May was horrendous if they lose this game. That's the only way they lose. Yeah.
Tom, Ramondre.
Agree?
I agree.
Yes. Yeah, that's and it. I think Drake May agrees.
Have a
that's why he said
worst
yesterday.
Game of the year.
It's important for me to play well for us to win, and I wouldn't have it any other way, or whatever he said yesterday. Ramondre Stevenson, though, has been helping out quite nicely over the last month or so. You could argue he's their best offensive player the last couple weeks here. Where are you on Ramondre Stevenson? Is all buried and forgotten in terms of the slippery fingers and the ball going on the ground, or is that forever just a part of your mindset when you see him carry the ball?
Always, always, always. Seven is not a coincidence. Seven fumbles is not a coincidence. That's a trend. And I would probably, if I was who's the running backs coach? Not Todd Downing, that's wide receivers.
Atlas, whoever the guy Tony is. Tony something, Atlas? Tony,
thank
Tony
you. Atlas. I would be screaming at him this week. They're going to come after the football. Just because you've been unbelievable the last few weeks, do not start trying to break tackles by doing that little flipper move that you do with your ball, the ball in your hand. Because he stops, and Teddy, we were talking about this, remember? He stops, and then he leverages off the tackler and backs up. And when he does that, he sometimes slaps the ball out.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's terrific. I give Mike Vrabel all the credit in the world for seeing his way clear to keeping him on the field when I thought it was detrimental and on them if he screwed up. And he stuck by him, but he still makes me nervous. Still makes me a little nervous, which I'm sure I'm not alone.
Tommy, so we got legitimately 25% of the NFL now looking for a new head coach. Curious if you think there's anyone else on the Patriots staff that could very well, aside from Thomas Brown, get asked. And also, you want to see maybe your old pal Bill come back in the league one more time?
I think it would be entertaining if Bill came back. And when there's that many openings, I can imagine that some teams will look at it. I wonder, though, while it would be interesting, and that would be obviously blindly ignorant to all we watched throughout the fall and summer, if you said, hey, that's the guy I want in charge, would Bill allow himself to go through an interview process at 73 with the decorated, the greatest record of any head coach in NFL history? Mm-hmm. Would he say, you know what, I'm not coming there and sitting down and then having Clint Kubiak come in after me and then having a deal with it's me or Clint Kubiak. I'm not doing that. You hire me and I'll do it. Otherwise, see ya. What do you think, Ted?
Well, remember Tom Pelissero's tweet about that a few weeks, months ago?
Yep.
Saying if Bill gets a job in the NFL, it's going to be in the shadows and in the darkness. And we're not even going to know about it. Just all of a sudden he's going to be named head coach. So that kind of invalidates what you're saying there, Tom. But I'm curious your thoughts on just the time slot that the Patriots drew. I was a little bit surprised by the 8 o'clock Sunday night spot that they got. But, a lot of people are saying, well, they really, Prime got the big one with the Bears and the Packers because the Christmas Day slate was so bad for them. So it's a makeup. Mm-hmm. But just what do you make of the Patriots being put in that time slot this year?
I think, obviously, you can't have the Chargers play, and they did have the Rams play on the East Coast on Saturday, so I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth here, but I think that it would be unfair to make both West Coast teams play on Saturday, have to travel, and have a short week. So the Chargers catch a break. They don't have to travel during the week. You can't put them at 1 o'clock because that's 10 a.m., and people could say, well, screw them, and I don't disagree. They didn't earn the right to dictate their travel situation. But those two things enter into it. And then I think, Teddy, it's just simply quarterbacks. Who would you want if you were NBC? I think I would want the most promising young quarterback in the game. I wonder, and I've worked there long enough, since 2006, actually, in one way or another at NBC. I wonder who decides. If it's the executives, do they ask Chris Collinsworth and Tirico or Fred Godelli, who's the producer, who they would prefer to have? Or is it the league? I think it's usually a confab between people, and they kind of try and ask for games. But if I was NBC, I would have said, yeah, give us Drake May and Justin Herbert.
If they put a camera in a meeting room when they were trying to figure talk about this stuff, I would be fascinated by it. How they come to these decisions.
Behind the beat type thing.
They probably talk just like we do.
Yep.
Yeah. I know they talk just like we do. No, F that. We had him. No. Yep. I do not want to have C.J. Stroud on national television at night.
That guy sucks. He's boring. He's no story. Like, right. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Real quick before we let you go, you kind of alluded to it. Clearly, you're leaning toward the Patriots, and Drake May would have to play terribly for them to lose. But how do you see the game playing out? Give me a score.
I think the Patriots are going to do their characteristic, allow an opening drive touchdown. I think they'll start a little bit slowly on offense because I think that Jesse Minter is probably a good defensive coordinator. But as the game wears along, Patriots are going to start to exert some pressure on Herbert. They'll figure out exactly what's going on with Greg Roman's rushing attack, and they will come from behind after about a small margin, and they'll win going away 30-20.
Ooh, I like it. All right, Tom, hopefully you are correct. Either way, we'll talk to you next Thursday.
No slight to C.J. Stroud. That was the first name that popped into my head.
All right, see you, Tom.
See you, bud.
See you, guys.
Tom Karn, NBC Sports Boston. Interesting take there. Yes, Fitzy?
Twitch chat points out you don't even have to really do much more thinking than you have TV Market 1 and TV Market 10.
Yeah, there's a lot of eyeballs.
For Sunday Night Football, it's a lot of eyeballs.
And they seem to know what they're doing with those ratings we talked about yesterday. So.
But the 8 o'clock Sunday night game isn't considered the top billing, though, for Sunday's games. It's the 4 o'clock
window.
I just thought it was the 8 o'clock, but it's... they consider it the 4 o'clock to be the prime.
All right. Tom Curran had an interesting thought or breakdown of what he expects from Drake May on Sunday. We'll listen to that again and react to it up next here on WEEI Afternoon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think he'll be in a position, Andy, at some point during the game where he does something that he says, nah, that was a bad idea. Will that be because of he tried to do too much? Will he not do something because he's trying to be too cautious? I'm confident he's going to make mistakes. I'm also confident that he's not going to look like Mac Jones on the sideline after he does, like you need to go over and give him a rattle or a hug. He's fine. So I think that's a huge attribute to any quarterback. And it's one of the things that I thought was one of his greatest attributes coming out, was his mental and physical toughness.
Tom Curran here on WEEI Afternoons. With an interesting perspective, he's quite confident Drake will make a mistake, and he's quite confident he'll be okay after that mistake and rebound from it. I think that's a pretty fair analysis.
What would lead you to believe that he would say something like that? What's the obvious answer? Because he does it all the time. He makes mistakes and overcomes them all the time.
Right.
Right? So maybe not the Pittsburgh game, but the Cincinnati Bengals game.
Yep.
I mean, they were down 10-0. Throws a pick six and throws interceptions in the red zone, and they're still able to overcome them.
Elsewhere in the interview, and you can go back on the Odyssey app and listen to the full thing or follow WEEI Afternoons podcast anywhere, he mentioned, could the pressure mount in him avoiding, taking chances? Fitzy and I talked a little bit about that in the first hour. That's actually my concern. Not that he makes more mistakes, that he's a little more timid in terms of his playmaking ability. That would be my concern on Sunday. But, Drake May, he's in the spotlight, the crosshairs, whatever you want to talk about. Legacy is on the line Sunday night for Herbert, May, and a lot of other people, Patriots, Chargers. Up next here on WEEI Afternoon, some legacies are on the line tonight. College football playoff starts. Kurt Cignetti is a guy that I want to talk about. And maybe in comparison to a guy you like to talk about, Bill Belichick. One has been a coach for 1 year trying to turn a program around. One has been a coach for 2 years turning a program around. Let's compare the work they've done and the programs they inherited.
Well, I like that.
Talk a little college football playoff up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.